We're starting a new homily series for Advent. And the homily series name is going to be the Jesse Tree. Now, some of you know what a Jesse Tree is, and some of you don't know what a Jesse Tree is. In art, some of you may have seen a tree with all the ancestors of Jesus beneath it. It may have Adam at the base and Cain and Abel, Zeph and Noah, and then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the way up to Jesse, who was the father of King David, and then all the kings and all the prophets. And it's a beautiful image. And then right at the top of the tree is Jesus. And some of you may have seen this picture and go, well, that's nice. Well, what does it have to do with me? Or you may have seen a Jesse tree as something that kids do. There's lots of little symbols, lots of little ornaments. And in fact, out in the narthex today, I bought all the Jesse tree ornaments. You're on your honor to make sure that none of them disappear between now and Christmas. Okay. So I bought all the Jesse tree ornaments, and we have a little family display and a sheet of paper for you to take to kind of help you to do a Jesse tree in your own home. Again, why? Well, the reason for this homily series is this, which is, unless we understand the Old Testament, we can't understand Jesus. Unless we understand how the people of Israel prepared for the coming of the Messiah, then we won't even understand what does it mean when the church asks us, as we are gathered on this first Sunday of Advent, to prepare ourselves for the end of time. You know, those two things, you know, always seem to kind of, on every Advent, they always seem to kind of go together, and yet you kind of wonder why. You know, why do we spend the first 2 weeks talking about the very same things that we talked about the last 3 weeks of ordinary time, which is the end of time, the last judgment? Why are we doing that? Well, what I want you to do, hopefully, as families and as a community, as we gather here, is that when you don't understand something that the church does, start asking yourself, what does the Old Testament have to say about this? We have a Savior. We have a faith. The only one who's been predicted by the prophets and the scriptures. Muhammad was predicted by no prophet. Buddha was predicted by no prophet. Confucius was predicted by no prophet. But yet God prepared us to receive his Son. God, starting with Adam and Moses and Noah and Jesse and David and all the kings, prepared us so that when this thing that is beyond our understanding, that God became flesh, the incarnation. You wonder why we need to spend a little time on that. That's the name of our parish, right? So this amazing thing that God does is so amazing that it seems like a myth if God did not prepare us to say this is true. This is what the people of Israel were waiting for. This is what humanity was waiting for. And God spoke his word right from the very beginning. In the gospel today, we have, in the days of Noah. So sometimes some of you may be familiar with the Left Behind series, okay? And some of you may have been challenged about what you think of the rapture. And some of our folks may have been confronted with this very gospel. You know, one will be taken and another will be left behind. But the problem is, that's taking this reading out of context. Right before it, Jesus was saying, they were asking him, when will the end of time happen? And Jesus said, Only the Father knows. It wasn't even given to the Son. And so when what happened in Noah's time was a universal judgment. No one survived in the whole face of the earth except Noah and those who got on the ark. It was a universal judgment. So what Jesus is saying is he's preparing us for another universal judgment. When one is taken, another is left behind. It's not so that they can go on living their life in a world without all of these other people. It's they're being left for the judgment of God to come upon them. So when we look at Isaiah today, the first reading from Isaiah, why do we have that first reading? It says, the Lord will make Jerusalem the highest mountain. Now, there's a few folks that have been to Jerusalem, including Deacon Chris, who was there recently. Okay? And although Jerusalem is on a mountain, and you have to go up to Jerusalem, it is certainly not the highest mountain. So what is Isaiah talking about? He's talking about a new creation where Jerusalem, that place of encounter with God, will be the place to which all nations head. If we have this understanding that God is visible to everyone at the end of time, and that all people are drawn to that God. So the question for us as we start this Advent is, what is your highest mountain? Is your highest mountain actually the Lord? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? What draws you on a daily basis forward in your life? And that's what this Advent is helping us to prepare for. If it is not the Lord, if it's not preparing us for this final coming, we need to switch what our highest mountain is in our life. If it's, sometimes the highest mountain may be just getting out of bed in the morning. That's all I can do right there. Well, if we do that, as St. Therese of Lisieux said, for the Lord, Jesus still can be the highest mountain. Sometimes you might be sick or tending to the sick. Well, that's a wonderful thing to do, is to tend to the sick and then bearing our own cross. That's one thing. But if we do it because we also see Jesus in the bed there, then the Lord becomes our highest mountain, even in our daily tasks. Even those mountains that don't seem that they are the highest become the highest peak. We as a community in this Advent season are called to look at the Old Testament so that we are as prepared for the second coming as the people of God's people were prepared for the first coming of Jesus. When you look at what was happening in Jesus' time, there was a sense of excitement that the Messiah is on the way. When you start studying about first century Palestine, there was a visible and a real expectation that now was the appropriate time, that God was coming now. The church is asking us to live with that same kind of expectation for the coming of Christ at the end of time, not just for the final judgment, but when there is a new heaven and a new earth. So all during this Advent season, we're going to be unpacking the Old Testament. Again, if we don't understand the old, we can't understand the new. The old is always fulfilled in the new, and the new always is foreshadowed in the old. So I'm going to ask your families, use the materials that we have out there, but also what I'd like you to do is for each of the symbols, there's also a biblical reference. Is as families to gather maybe for a little more prayer than you would normally do, to kind of read the scripture together, these Old Testament texts, and ask yourself, why is this text pointing towards Jesus. And we're going to be doing this in the homilies too. We're going to be pointing towards Jesus in these signs and symbols from the Old Testament. Today's symbol, which is the creation, is the earth itself. That the earth has been given to us as a gift, and it's in our custody because it reveals to us who God is. That God wants to make himself known even through the gift of the earth. So that's the first one, the first symbol. You can try to find it on the tree, or if you want to make a little tree for yourself and make these symbols, that's my hope, is that as a parish we dig deeper into the Old Testament this month as we prepare for Christmas. The Jesse tree is more than just a piece of art. It's more than a religious family activity. It is our family tree. And it is also ultimately our future.